What does it take to seed a revolution? As we talk about power this hour, in the midst of poverty, the most powerless are the youngest girls, smart enough to survive conditions of scrounging and just staying ahead of ruin, smart enough to know that the cycle of work, sometimes as a servant, sometimes in the sex trade, sometimes just supporting struggling parents, that this cycle will slowly imprison them, first by denying them freedom, and then by taking their youth. And then it's over. Another generation lost.
She was a child of the dump. An orphan. Discarded. Learning lessons no school would teach. Hunting the rot for glints of light. Metal containers. Silver spoons.
That's a clip from a new documentary film called Girl Rising, shot in an extraordinary storytelling way. It tries to convey that 66 million girls around the world are up against a serious headwind, trying to break free, get an education, simply go to school.
If my husband heard these words, he might kill me. So might my father or my brother, or any one of thousands of my countrymen. Killed because I want to learn. Killed because I want to read. For uttering my own truth. Because I am a girl.
Girl Rising tells the story of 9 young girls from across the developing world who make the case that investing in young girls' education is the key not only to enriching their lives, but to eradicating poverty. With us is Richard Robbins, director of Girl Rising, and Holly Gordon, executive director of 10x10, which, in addition to the film, is a global campaign to educate and empower girls. Holly and Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Richard, how do you give voice to these kinds of stories from girls who are so hard to reach, either in terms of linguistics, catching them on film, really telling the story in a voice that the rest of the world can understand?
Well, we thought we would make a traditional documentary when we began. And what we found out in the field, something that I'm sure is familiar to you having worked overseas, which is that the girls themselves were incredibly inspiring and their circumstances were incredibly grim and depressing. But what we really wanted to capture in the film was their strength and their power. And so trying to make a film that's really about character and not about the circumstances so that audiences feel that inspiration and don't feel overwhelmed by the circumstances was the big challenge. We ended up pairing each of the girls with a writer from their own country who spent time with the girls and really tried to inhabit their world and then write something based on the time they had spent with the girl. And then those stories were brought to the screen through a variety of different techniques. And those voices that you heard there doing the voiceover, that was Alicia Keys and Anne Hathaway. So we had a great cast of women bringing those voices to the screen.
So a writer finds an inspiring girl, goes into her life for a while, comes up with a story, and then you realize that story, in some cases acting out that story on screen.
Yes. I mean, we call the film a documentary, but it's it really is a kind of mix of genres, something that's pretty familiar in the literary world, but unfamiliar still in the film world. So what we have often is real girls playing themselves in scripted stories from their own lives.
You know, you get a real dream sense in this film because of the way you use animation. All of a sudden, there will be in the landscape in the middle of the frame a drawn-in school bus or a drawn-in imagined school. I'm wondering if that dream idea, Holly, is something that you encounter in the actual work of getting kids into schools in the developing world on the sort of action end of this that doesn't involve the film.
Well, what you really have to do is take the opportunity that can sometimes feel like a dream in terms of how difficult it is to really change the fundamentals that these girls face every day, but take the power of the stories and try to reach the furthest corners of the world with them and underscore the opportunity, the economic opportunity, the security opportunity that educating girls really reflects.
There's a danger in this message, though. Do you, in a sense, worry that you're putting a lot of pressure on these girls? In a sense, the quiet message here is, it's on you. Get educated. You're on your own. They're going to need a lot of help once they are educated.
Actually, what we're trying to do is say that this is an opportunity for all of us to look at the lives of these girls and look at the opportunity they represent and change the systems within which they live and give them the support they need to realize their full potential. And what that means on the policy level is changing our policy and looking at our policies across every spectrum of development and make sure that girls are recognized and empowered. And in our lives here, certainly in the United States and in the developed world, is directing resources to those girls so that we can meet their needs with resources.
What story tells the transformation of that empowerment that Holly describes in your film?
Well, the most striking is the piece you just heard a little bit of from Cambodia, a young woman named Soka. She's actually the first girl who was chosen for the film, who spent many of her early years, she was an orphan, many of her early years essentially surviving as a scavenger in the city dump in Phnom Penh. And when she finally got an opportunity to get herself into school, she saw it for what it was, which was a chance to reinvent her life. And she studied very hard. She did incredibly well, moved to a better school, shot to the top of her class there and moved to an even better school. And she's about to graduate from one of the top high schools in all of Cambodia. And she's on her way to college. And that's a girl whose life was essentially discarded. She was living in a dump.
And what's the future? If she comes to the United States and has a wonderful life in New York, that's not much benefit for her folks back home in Phnom Penh.
You know, one of the amazing things about all of the girls that we met is that their ambitions are not just for themselves. They're for their families. They're for their communities. It's one of the things that I think makes girls' education such a powerful intervention. These girls, and the reason we call it a revolution, these girls aren't after personal fame and fortune. They want to make the world they grew up in better.
You know, we were talking about House of Cards and the unusual business model that's distributing that film. You have an unusual business model where people sign up to sponsor screenings all over the United States. Describe that a little bit before we go.
Well, in New York and L.A., you can go to a traditional theater and see it. But out in the rest of the country where it's harder to get these kinds of films into theaters, we are working with a company called Gather. You can go to our website, girlrising.com, and request a screening. And if enough people sign up to buy tickets to your screening, the screening will happen. We really wanted to make this a film that everybody could see.
And you got tens of thousands of people already signed up. Richard Robbins is director of Girl Rising. Holly Gordon is executive director of 10x10, a global campaign to educate and empower girls. You can see Girl Rising right here in New York and actually go on a run along with all of the people watching the film later on this week. Richard and Holly, thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.